It's... We've survived another week. And as far as I know, we're not bombing Iran yet. Unbelievable. Wow, the neocons are more patient than I thought. Anyway, guys, couple quick announcements here, as always, and then we're going to jump right in. We got a great guest today, Jim Fetzer. Professor Jim Fetzer. We're going to be talking about, well, probably a lot of different things, but mostly the Kennedy assassination, especially in the wake of this recent release of the E. Howard Hunt tape. Interested to hear Professor Fetzer's take on that. But before I introduce him, let me just remind you, we're still running our pledge drive here at RBN. We're asking you to give what you can to help keep the station on the air, help with our finances, got some bills to catch up on. And you can do that either by calling toll-free, 800-724-2719. Again, that's 800-724-2719. Or you can write in to the RBN office at 1015 South Mays, and that's M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's RBN office, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And a reminder again, our website is truthhertz.com. That's spelled H-E-R-T-Z. Everyone's welcome to go there and post some blogs, read some of the stuff we've already got posted, a lot of interesting links and videos. I posted something the other day showing some explosions, secondary explosions at the Pentagon. That's something I have been pretty much ignoring all this time. I had heard about such reports, but I just never gave much attention to it because I didn't see too much mention of it, so I just thought it was one of those side issues that wasn't of any significance and there wasn't really any solid documentation of it. Well, I was wrong. There is. And again, if you go to truthhertz.com, you'll see the video links there. I've got my friend Philinette from On Pal Talk posted. In fact, you just click on the video. It's right there. The other one is a link you have to click on to watch. But we have the video right there loaded on the page. It's a video from YouTube showing, in fact, it's a clip from a History Channel documentary called the 9/11 Commission Report. And it shows, you can actually see a plume of fire and smoke coming out of the Pentagon and rising up. You can hear this big boom. It's an obvious bomb explosion. This ties in with what, I think he was a general. His office was located around the corner from the Pentagon. I think his name was Percal. Anyway, he said that after hearing this explosion, he says, I was convinced it was a bomb because I could smell the cordite. Well, there you go. It's an explosive, folks. And also on the page, you'll see a clip from the local Fox News Channel 5 broadcast there on the scene that morning in D.C. A woman is interviewing a Pentagon worker. He had just come out of the building, and he's describing how, yeah, he says, right now at this point, we think it was a plane, perhaps a commercial airliner that struck the Pentagon. And as he's talking, he says, it was just another explosion. And you can see him looking over toward the building. A moment or two later, he says, another explosion. And all of a sudden, the woman, the journalist there interviewing him, she says, yes, we just heard another explosion here at the Pentagon. She says, we're looking into it, trying to figure out what it was. We don't know at this point what it was, but there was, I mean, you could hear it on the tape. So there were two secondary explosions there as they were talking. So there's no question, just like at Ground Zero, you had all these explosions going off, very bizarre, very suspicious. And, of course, the neocons have no answer for that. The official, hey, if we have some neocons listening in, call us in. I'd like to hear that. Let's see what kind of ridiculous explanation you're going to come up with that. I could use a good laugh. Anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back with Professor Jim Fetzer, guys.
Thank you. I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
And welcome back to Truth Hurts. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got on as our guest today, Jim Fetzer, on for the full 2 hours. Before I introduce him, I just want to mention once again my two books, The New World Disorder and Piercing the Fog of 9/11, are both available on CD. You can get them for $10. Postage is included. Or you can order the printed versions, a little more expensive, at least for now anyway, $30 a piece. Loaded with the 9/11 one, especially loaded with pictures, loaded with documentation in the New World Disorder book. I've got, actually, I was checking last night, almost 600 references in that book, fully documented, most authoritative sources to show that we're dealing with a massive conspiracy with fraudulent banking systems, fraudulent monetary systems around the world have been set up, hijacking government after government. They're now trying to do it in Iran and Syria. Turns out those two countries don't have a central bank. That's one of the reasons why they want to invade them, so they can hijack their economies and thus put a noose around their necks and totally control them. So anyway, if you want to get those books either on CD or printed versions, you can get those from me directly by writing to me, Charles Giuliani, 39 Fruit Street, Milford, Massachusetts, 01757. Again, 39 Fruit Street, Milford, Mass., 01757. Or you can just write in, send an email, at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. And again, that's spelled H-E-R-T-Z, truthhurtsradio@aol.com. I can also use that email to just send comments in or questions, suggestions, whatever. You know, you got some people you want us to have on to interview, just drop me an email. Okay, with that said, With no further ado, let's introduce our guest today, Dr. Jim Fetzer. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Charlie. It's good to be on.
Yeah, great to have you. You know, before we even go into the Kennedy thing, just one quick 9/11, because, of course, Dr. Fetzer is an expert both on 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination. I was just curious, were you aware of the secondary explosions at the Pentagon? I must confess, that's something I hadn't really looked into before until recently.
Well, there's a photograph in the book that I've just published, The 9/11 Conspiracy, subtitled The Scamming of America, where in the color photo section we include a copy of a photograph that has sometimes been presented as having been of the initial hit, but you can see that it isn't, that it's a subsequent event because there's already smoke and some debris in the immediate foreground, so it can't be from the initial hit. On the other hand, there's a question of the authenticity of that particular photograph. It's very clear something happened between the time of the initial hit and the time about 20-25 minutes later that the upper floors collapsed to bring about that event, the collapse of the upper floors. Karen Kotowski, who was a lieutenant colonel stationed in the Pentagon at the time, talked about how they felt no impact, but she did observe a giant fireball take place and then walked out to look around and could see no signs of any airplane impact. But I don't recall about her discussing a subsequent explosion there, Charlie.
Well, these two tapes that have emerged recently are pretty convincing and pretty... Well, I mean, one of them was actually aired on a History Channel documentary called The 9/11 Commission Report, which I never saw, but that's the source of this one clip. In fact, Alex Jones had actually had it on his website a few weeks ago, but you can clearly see an explosion coming out of the Pentagon, and you can hear it, this big boom. And interestingly, the narrator doesn't make any reference to it. You know, he just acts like it didn't happen, but it's amazing that they showed that. You know, how can they just talk over that like it was no big deal? I mean, that's a very significant event.
You know, if you got a link there to that, I'll take a look at it during the break and we can return to that topic.
Yeah, sure. It's actually it's on our website here for the station, for the show. It's truthhertz.com. Truth, HERTZ.com. It should still be there right on the front page. I just posted it a couple days ago. And, of course, there's two. One is the video that's right there. You can play it right there on the page. The other one is a link that you can click. And it's a segment from a Fox News Live, local, you know, Channel 5 Fox News in D.C. And as the woman is interviewing this Pentagon worker, the building had just been hit maybe 10, 15 minutes earlier. And as they're talking, there's two secondary explosions occurring as they're discoursing right there, you know, after the thing was hit. One of them, the second one, is so loud you can hear it right on the tape. And the guy's looking over. There was another explosion. Very strange.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. Were they, you know, did they have that planted in there ahead of time and they were planning on doing that to make the hole look bigger? Did that in fact contribute to the fact that the facade had collapsed later? Because they knew that the initial impacting craft wasn't going to make a big enough hole? I don't know.
Well, let's see. There's quite a bit of smoke there. I see the explosion.
I'll have to check your book. I didn't know that picture was in there. I hadn't started it yet. I'm just finishing up David Ray's latest book. I got the both of them together.
Debunking 9/11, debunking. Oh, that's a great combination, Charlie.
Yeah, it really is. I'm going to have to check your booklet for that picture. I didn't know that was in there.
Well, what may be, I suspect it is.
Very strange. But, again, we see parallels here with, you know, what happened with the Twin Towers, explosions going off after the planes had hit. And, you know, there is that, I think his name was Perkal, P-E-R-K-A-L. He was a general or whatever. His office was located right around the corner from the strike. And he said, I knew it must have been a bomb because I could smell the cordite. And, you know, initially I was thinking maybe he was smelling explosives from the missile or whatever it was that hit the Pentagon. But maybe he was actually smelling a bomb that went off.
Well, it's also the case that the inner ring, the C-ring hole, which is virtually perfectly symmetrical and had spray painted up beside it, punch out,
yeah,
appears to have been taken, you know, blown out with cordite.
That is so.
So there's another possible source. There were a lot of reports of that smell, which is, of course, rather distinctive and would be very familiar to personnel in the military.
Yeah, they'd know what they were talking about. But, again, folks, this is the 9/11 saga, just mystery after mystery, inconsistency after inconsistency. There's no end to them. The more you dig into it, you just keep uncovering more and more rat's nests. It's just one big scam. Anyway, let's talk about another scam, the Kennedy assassination. The main reason I had you on, a lot of people might not realize, but Professor Fetzer here, long before he became a big name in the 9/11 truth movement, was a big name in the, and still is, in the Kennedy assassination truth movement. Written, what is it, four books?
Well, there are three that I've edited, Charlie. I was fortunate to work with the best qualified individuals to ever study the case, including a world authority on the human brain, who is also an expert on wound ballistics, a PhD in physics, who's also an MD and board certified in radiation oncology, so that he was an expert in the interpretation of X-rays, a legendary photo analyst who was an advisor to Oliver Stone and to the House Select Committee when it reinvestigated the case, a physician who actually was present when Jack Kennedy was treated in trauma room number one and subsequently was responsible for the treatment of his alleged assassin, Lee Oswald, 2 days later. Another PhD in physics with a specialty in electromagnetism, light and the physics of moving objects. I was very fortunate to bring together a group of this caliber very early on in 1992. And the results of our research were really quite spectacular in sorting out the authentic from the inauthentic evidence. What we were committed to doing was to take rumor and speculation out of the case and placing its investigation on an objective and scientific foundation.
Now, is this physician still alive that was at Parkland?
No, he's now deceased. That was Charles Crenshaw. He published a book called Conspiracy of Silence. He was the last physician to observe the president before he was wrapped and placed in that bronze ceremonial casket. In fact, he actually closed his eyelids. And he drew diagrams for me, which I published in my first book, the first book I published here, Assassination Science, of how the wounds appeared to him, which to my astonishment the other physicians had not been asked to do, although one of them, Robert McClellan, had in fact done so, and the comparison between their two diagrams was quite striking. They were very similar, with this massive blowout at the back of the head about the size of your fist as you double it up.
It was a complete discrepancy between what they had described at Parkland and then later, of course, at Bethesda, huh?
Well, that's an interesting question. In my second book, collection of studies here, because I've sought to bring together the best experts on different aspects of the case in each of these publications, a fellow named Gary Aguilar, MD, who's in ophthalmology, but oddly enough, but has been particularly attentive to this particular question, believes actually there's a great deal more consistency than is usually assumed in relation to the observations of the wounds at Parkland and Bethesda. What's most important is that some 40 eyewitnesses who testified to this massive blowout to the back of the head, and these include witnesses in Dealing Plaza at Parkland and at Bethesda, were dismissed by the government during its investigations on the ground that the autopsy x-rays did not show this massive blowout. So one of our first important discoveries was when David W. Mandick, MD, PhD, the fellow who has got not only a PhD in physics but an MD who's the expert in dealing with x-rays, went into the National Archives and confirmed his conjecture that the autopsies had been altered, and indeed that the kind of material that was much too dense to be human bone had been used to patch up or conceal the massive defect to the back of the head, a deception he discovered using a simple technique from physics known as optical densitometry that enables you to measure the relative density of the objects whose exposure to x-rays created the images. And when you define the area of the patch that had been imposed on the x-ray, it corresponds very closely to not only Dr. Crenshaw's diagram of the blowout, but also to Dr. McClellan's.
Tampering with the evidence. Boy, that sounds familiar. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Professor James Fetzer.
We're stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
And we're back with Professor James Fetzer. Tampering with evidence. Yeah, this is one of those deja vu moments again. We see this happening over and over. Of course, that's what they did in the wake of 9/11. We moved all the evidence at Ground Zero. It was never examined properly or really at all. Hauled off, mostly melted down into scrap. And we see the same thing. Typical cover-up activities. Kennedy's wounds being altered. So there was coroner's wax. What else was going on there, Professor Fetzer? We know they took the limo to, now that's astonishing, isn't it? The Secret Service drove the limo after dropping him off at Parkland to the local car wash and washed it down.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Something else, Charlie, is that in the third book that I edited, The Great Zapruder Film Hoax, we did a massive amount of work on the whole movie, the purportedly taken of the assassination at the time, and attributed to a dressmaker who had a company nearby by the name of Abraham Zapruder. And we discovered that the film had been actually recreated using special techniques optical printing and special effects to conceal some very important evidence. In particular, the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left into a halt after bullets began to be fired to
right.
make sure that the president would be killed. And during that interval, which only lasted 1 to 2 seconds, Jack was hit in the back of the head, fell forward. Jack eased him back up and was looking at him right in the face when he was hit from the right front, a bullet that entered his right temple that blew out the back of his head, his brains and skull with such force that a motorcycle patrolman to the left rear who was impacted by this debris thought he himself had been shot. A triangular chunk of his skull would be found in the grass in that vicinity the next day. But that was the, you know, one of two wounds that were widely reported, by the way, on radio and television that afternoon. The shot to the right temple that killed him or blew out his brains, the shot to the back of the head could have been fatal, too. But another shot that entered the throat that actually passed through the windshield in transit. And I think that it's because many Americans were glued to their television and radios that day and heard reports of those two shots that they were, you know, subconsciously bothered by the eventual report of the Warren Commission that all the shots had been fired from above and behind. In fact, even that day when, say, Chet Huntley was reporting these two wounds and others were commenting on it, when Frank McGee, who was commenting that evening, was told that the shooter, the assassin, had purportedly been above and behind, he said that was incongruous. How can the man have been shot from in front, from behind?
Now, didn't they also change the windshield?
That's true. Actually, you can see the through-and-through hole in the windshield in a very famous photograph taken by an American, an Associated Press photographer named Ike Alchins. You can actually see it. This is the photograph where you got the book depository in the background. You got the Secret Service agents not responding but looking around. Jack is actually already clutching his throat. And if you go forward of where his left ear would be, if his left ear were visible, you can see a small white spiral nebulae with a dark hole in the center, which is indicative of a through-and-through hole. Many witnesses observed this at Parkland Hospital. One purportedly even put a pencil through it. And when the Secret Service noticed all the interest in this, they moved these bystanders away and shifted the vehicle's location. But what you were observing before, too, is also quite correct. Namely, on Monday already, the limousine had been taken back to Ford Motor Company and was completely rebuilt from the ground up, including the replacement of the windshield, with a brand new windshield, which means that when the Secret Service would eventually present a windshield they claimed had been the original windshield, which showed a kind of a star-like configuration from a fragment having hit it from behind, they were actually dealing with a third windshield in this whole sequence of deception. But we even tracked down an official from Ford Motor Company who was responsible for this replacement, and he confirmed that the original windshield had a through-and-through hole in it.
We don't need to investigate what happened here. We already know what happened.
That's what the FBI said about the crash scene in Pennsylvania. The cleanup crew wanted to section the area off, you know, rope it off, and do a standard examination of the, and they said, no, we already know what went on here. They blocked it.
Well, the FBI, Charlie, I'm sorry to say, seems to play a role in cleaning up for the government and concealing what happens far more than it does in revealing the truth. I mean, in Dallas, for example, the FBI, where agents were stationed for 2 weeks at photo processing labs in the city of Dallas, and they would take any photographs or films that were related to the assassination and leave a little card explain they'd been taken, you know, on behalf of the government. Also, they had a system for filtering evidence. I mean, Lyndon designated the FBI as the official investigative agency, so to preclude other inquiries, the House, the Senate, the state, the city even were, you know, initiating their own investigations. But to cut them all off, he appointed the Warren Commission, and then the FBI as its investigative arm. And with regard to the FBI, they, if you had a witness who knew too much, they didn't even interrogate him. For example, the 10 closest witnesses to the limousine were never questioned by the FBI. And then others, if they knew too much, the FBI would question them but not ask them the appropriate questions. Or eventually, in relation to the testimony, if somebody knew too much and it got in there, they would alter the testimony.
Yeah, you didn't hear anything or see anything behind that fence. There was nobody there. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Professor James Fetzer.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
All right, folks, back with Truth Hurts, your host Charlie Giuliani. We have our guest, Professor James Fetzer, talking about the Kennedy assassination and what a fraud that whole thing was. If anybody wants to join here on the show with us and you get some comments or questions for our guest, you can call in toll-free 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Yeah, you know, this whole thing, it just reeks to high heaven, like so many other things. Driving the limo away after he stops to turn around. I mean, how can, in an emergency, you suspect the man's life is in jeopardy. Obviously it was. You want to hightail it out of there as quick as you can.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Charlie. The only one who could have saved Jack's life once they turned from Houston onto Elm and into the kill zone was William Greer, which he could have done by simply pressing his foot hard on the accelerator. Two more examples, by the way, of FBI complicity include that when Flight 93 purportedly went down Pennsylvania, I was called by a resident who told me that he had reported to the FBI that he heard an explosion in the air before he heard any impact with the ground and that the FBI refused to write it down. Another example is on the 25th of October, 2002, when Senator Paul Wellstone's plane went down. The FBI was on the scene almost immediately. It was really quite astonishing Bolin of the American Free Press observed this initially, but I followed it up. The plane crash occurred about 10:22 in the morning, and the response team was up there by noon, according to what one of them told the sheriff for St. Louis County when he showed up at 1:30 and knew this guy personally. He told the sheriff that they'd been there since noon. Well, in order for them to be there by noon, since they came from St. Paul, which was also the origin of the senator's flight, and had flown up to Duluth and rented a car to get to the crashing, they would have had to have departed about the same time the senator's plane was taking off. It's really quite remarkable. The FBI controlled the crash scene, and would that evening already be reporting that there were no signs of terrorist involvement. But, Charlie, the plane burned with such intensity for 7 hours after the crash, they couldn't even remove the bodies. The wings had broken off and the tail. They only found the bodies the next day looking for a black box recorder, and everything was reduced to charcoal. It would take the NTSB over a year to arrive at a conclusion as to the cause of the crash, which means that the FBI's announcement that there were no indications of terrorist involvement were really quite ridiculous. Unless you already had a determination of the cause of the crash, how could you possibly draw inferences about who might or might not have been involved? So this appears to have been a charade on the part of the FBI.
Oh, sure. And look how convenient it is. With his death, going into Iraq went through with ease. He said he was going to do everything he could to block us going into Iraq. He was going to block passage of Homeland Security Act. That went through with flying colors just within, what, a week or two after he died. Of course, with his death, the majority, control of Congress tipped in favor of the Republicans with his death. Lots of motives there for that. He was flying home to campaign for re-election.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, he had been worried that his taking a strong stand against the war in Iraq might cost him the election. But in fact, at this point in time, it worked just the opposite, and he was 6, 7, or 8 points ahead of Coleman, Norm Coleman. He also had confided to some veterans in Wilmer that he'd been threatened by Dick Cheney that if he opposed them on Iraq, that there would be severe ramifications for him personally and for the state of Minnesota. I can't imagine more severe ramifications than actually taking him out.
You know, those are the two most common methods of elimination of political dissidents of people that are in key positions. Either you have their planes crash, or you arrange for their suicide. I mean, there's been so many instances of this over the years. How can people buy this stuff?
You're going to love this, Charlie. It turns out that during our investigation of the crash that killed the senator, we discovered that the NTSB has a policy that unless the attorney general declares a crash scene to be a crime scene, it can't be investigated as a crime scene. So if you have a complicit or a compliant attorney general, you have a foolproof way of taking out your political enemies. Kill them in a plane crash, have the attorney general decline to declare a crash scene, and the NTSB can only investigate accident-compatible alternatives. In this case, for example, they never considered the possibility it could have been a small bomb or a gas canister or some kind of a high-tech weapon. Instead, they only considered that it could have been the weather or the plane or the pilots who were responsible, which means it was a completely unscientific, incomplete, and partial investigation. It was predetermined to arrive at a certain type of conclusion.
Unbelievable. You're going to tell me that if Air Force One ever crashed, they're going to say, oh, that was just malfunction, there's no foul play. They're not going to investigate it, right? Give me a flipping break. These guys are unbelievable.
It's too much.
Maybe we could argue that the FBI is being true to their name. After all, doesn't that stand for Federal Bunglers of Investigations? I guess they're just following suit.
Well,
man,
there are lots of things they could stand for, that's for sure.
Well, you know, there was a woman, too, in Pennsylvania who saw the white jet pursuing Flight 93, you know, that shot it down, obviously. Yeah. They told her, no, you didn't see that. There was no jet there. Sir, I saw it. She described it in detail.
No, I know, Charlie. No. That's really quite fascinating. I agree completely. That's extremely interesting.
My. Just business as usual. I mean, it's...
By the way, in relation to Jack, by the way, you know, and talking about how the autopsy x-rays had been altered, but in ways that when you identified the area of the patch correspond to witness reports, and also to the diagrams that were drawn by Drs. Crenshaw the other physician, I found a frame in 374, frame 374 of the Zapruder film. Actually, you can see the back of Jack's head, and you can discern this blown-out area. You also see a flap to his skull that's sort of extending outward. That was apparently a feature also caused by the, you know, very close in time impact of these two bullets. So that, you know, what McClellan and Crenshaw had drawn and what David Manick discovered on the X-ray is actually confirmed by frame 374 of the Zapruder film, though to the best of my knowledge, I'm the first person who noticed that you could actually see the blowout to the back of his head in that frame.
Wow. Now, isn't it true that his body had mysteriously been unaccounted for, disappeared for an extended period of time before it actually wound up in Bethesda?
No, well, the two different issues that may be being run together here. One is that there was the official motorcade from the landing at Andrews Air Force Base where this ceremonial bronze casket into which the body had been loaded at Parkland was offloaded and put in a gray Navy ambulance. On the other hand, the fact is that the body was brought to the morgue at Bethesda in a black ambulance, and it wasn't in the bronze casket. It was in a body bag inside of a gray shipping casket of a kind that was then being widely used to bring back servicemen who'd been killed in Vietnam.
Yeah, something went on.
What appears to have happened, and David Lifton is the person who pioneered this area of research and is reported in his book Best Evidence, published in 1980, is that the body appears to have been transported from Andrews by helicopter, probably to Walter Reed, in order to remove bullet fragments from the assassination. And then from Walter Reed, it was put in the body bag and sent by the black ambulance over to Bethesda. Now, I think that was essential for multiple reasons, but that, including that the different assassins involved here almost certainly, well, for the most part anyway, used their preferred weapon, you know, the weapon they liked the most. And these would have had varying calibers. Also, there would have been too much lead in the body, so they had to clean it up before it was sent over to Parkland.
Yeah. At what point did his brain disappear? Was it by the time it showed up at Bethesda, or...?
Well, that's the other issue that has become very important is what did happen to the brain. Robert B. Livingston, M.D., the world authority on the human brain I mentioned before, who is also an expert on wound ballistics, having supervised in an emergency medical hospital for injured Japanese and Okinawans during the Battle of Okinawa, had determined, based upon the physician's description of the character of the wound to the back of the head, and that it was excreting two kinds of brain tissue, cerebral and cerebellar, which are very different, where the cerebellum is this compact part of the brain right at the base, and excreting, they would have had a very different character. The cerebral would have been kind of grayish, maggoty looking. The cerebellar would have much more reddish, hamburger looking. He observed their reports of cerebral and cerebellar tissue extruding from this wound where Jack had about half his brains blown out at Dealey Plaza, and contrasted that with a diagram of the brain and photographs of the brain in the National Archives, and determined that since the brain shown in the photographs and diagrams has a completely intact cerebellum and is in fact a virtually complete intact brain, they can't possibly be diagrams and photographs of the brain of John F. Kennedy, and that a substitution appeared to have been made. This was a finding that was confirmed after Congress passed the JFK Records Act and created a five-member civilian board known as the Assassinations Records Review Board. Douglas Horn, who became the senior military analyst, determined based on documents that came to light at that time that actually there had been two different brain examinations. One was already Monday, the day of the formal state, the funeral, which is the same day the vehicle was being rebuilt at Ford Motor Company, apparently with the original brain, and then a second, apparently with a substitute brain, about a week later, and that is when the substitution was made.
All kinds of tampering going on here. We have a caller from California. Her name is Susie. You with us, Suze?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a question for...
Well, I was listening. I'm sorry, I was listening on the Pal Talk room. The question I have, are you there, Mr.
Yes,
President?
I am, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi, okay. Well, first, I'd just like to tell you, I was 17 years old when President Kennedy was assassinated, and it really, telling you, it really hurt a lot. It just crushed us.
Yeah.
Really crushed people. We're not over it. We're still
No, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I have a question for you. There was a project at the end of World War II called Operation Paperclip. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. That was the what that was after we supposedly won the war over there against Hitler and all that.
Oh, bringing the Nazis over.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that what they did, what our government did, I believe, was it Eisenhower was in charge at that point, I believe. Anyway, they had this program called Operation Paperclip in the United States, and it imported Hitler's Nazis to come over here and work in government agencies. And so we're talking about the CIA, FBI, NASA, all the rocket programs, you know, they were just coming over in droves. And
yeah,
imported.
Started under Truman and then...
Yeah. Was it under Truman? I think Eisenhower had something to do with it, too. But anyway, I needed to research that more. But I wanted to ask you a question about Operation Paperclip. If you know anything about this and exactly how did that affect the people that were in charge of these agencies that did these assassinations that we've experienced with President Kennedy and his brother and so on, do you have any information as to how many Nazis we have infiltrating these agencies and if they still are today? And I believe the answer might be yes, but I'd like to hear your comment. Go ahead.
Yes, well, I'm no expert on this topic, but my surmise would be that they were rather large in number. I mean, I think we're talking about hundreds, and that a lot of them were put into very important positions.
High level,
and,
yeah.
And my belief actually would be that the culmination, I've been thinking about this in recent times, that the culmination of their impact on government may be occurring now as the United States becomes a simulation of the Third Reich. I mean, even Vladimir Putin has been
parallels
between the foreign policy of the United States and of Nazi Germany, and certainly are turning into an aggressor nation and invading countries that never threatened us. The subversion of our civil rights, our reliance upon mercenary armies, where I'm terribly concerned that the evisceration of the Army and the Marine Corps in Iraq, which appears to be going on at a breakneck speed and where many generals and commanding officers have observed that it's not sustainable, plus running the National Guard there when they are totally not prepared for this, may be a deliberate effort to weaken our capacity to resist a takeover using mercenary forces. In fact, it turns out that Hitler created the SS out of mercenary armies, and it would not surprise me if then this was being used as a model for our future. And I'm talking about now not our distant future, but our immediate future. You have George Bush and Dick Cheney completely surrounded now. Their programs are falling apart. They want to stay in the Middle East to extract all that oil for the benefit of big oil companies.
Well, you know that
Bush has no intention actually of ever getting out of Iraq.
Yeah.
No.
That's why, of course, there was no exit plan. There was, in fact, no plan to exit. So we're in a very bizarre situation here in the United States.
Well, they're following Hitler's game plan. Of course, his grandfather was a big financier of Hitler. You know, we've had our Reichstag already on 9/11. I had a guest on yesterday, brought out a good point I hadn't really thought of, but this emerging NAFTA highway thing seems to be the equivalent of Hitler's Autobahn, which we use primarily for troop transport.
Yeah.
You know, is this something Bush is thinking of, looking down the line? I mean, he just passed a thing yesterday, I think it was, for more secret government handling of the country in case of an attack. With the John Warner Military Act, he's got himself empowered now to declare martial law. I mean, you don't pass laws like this unless you're planning on implementing them.
Well, I think that's right, Charlie, and I'm terribly disturbed. You know, I had... a wonderful guest on the Dynamic Duo yesterday, a fellow named John McCarthy, who'd been involved in false flag operations during the Vietnam War, where they used Cambodians masquerading as North Vietnamese to try to provoke the Cambodians into denying the North Vietnamese access to their terrain to launch attacks into South Vietnam, a guy very familiar with all these kinds of operations who was expressing the same concerns you are and I am about the, you know, Bush having set these things up. I mean, Posse Comitatus has been undermined. The National Guard now can be put directly under the president's control, even though all 50 governors objected to that. So I don't know what's going to happen here when they try to pull this off. I mean, are we going to be law-abiding citizens to the takeover of our country and the imposition of a police state rule by a fascist regime, or are we going to protest it?
I mean, if it follows the fiat.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Well, thanks for the...
Thanks for the call.
Oh, Susie, I didn't know you were still there. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay, folks, I'm going to take another short break, and we'll be right back with some more very interesting revelations with Professor James Fetzer. Stick with us.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
In my line of work, you gotta keep repeating things over and over so that it sink in, to sort of catapult the propaganda.
All right, folks, we're back. Truth Hurts. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got our guest, James Fetzer. Yeah, that's how Bush views things. He's just an advancer of lies and propaganda. We're seeing the culmination right now, aren't we, of what obviously JFK and others like him tried to prevent. this military-industrial complex take over.
I think that's right, Charlie. I mean, JFK was taken out for a whole variety of policy reasons. He was going to cut the oil depletion allowance, which these Texas oilmen viewed as akin to their divine right. He was going to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces for having misled him about Cuba, and God knows how much good would have derived if we'd never had a CIA. He was pulling our forces out of Vietnam. The Joint Chiefs were quite alarmed because he'd not only not invaded Cuba against their unanimous recommendation, he'd gone ahead and signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition.
Didn't provide air coverage for the Bay of Pigs fiasco.
Yeah, now here he is pulling our forces out of Vietnam, where they thought a stand had to be taken against the expansion of international godless communism. So they were viewing Jack as part of the problem, not the solution.
Wanted to end the Cold War.
That's right. The mob wanted to regain its resorts and control of its resorts and casinos in Havana, where it was running the biggest money laundering operation in the Western Hemisphere, and wanted to get Bobby off of their backs. He'd organized a crackdown on crime, and for the first time in history, J. Edgar Hoover even was acknowledging the existence of the mafia. They may have believed they were double-crossed, according to Sam Giancana. He told his brother and a nephew would write a book entitled Double Cross, not only about how the CIA joined with the mafia in taking Jack out, but also that they felt that there had been a promise from the Kennedys that if they helped Jack get elected, that the mob they'd lay off the mob. I can't see Bobby or Jack having anything to do with such a scheme, but Joe, their father, is a whole other matter, so it's entirely possible there might have been something like that going on behind this scene. Jack was also planning to reform or abolish the Fed. This is really quite stunning. He'd instructed the Department of the Treasury to print millions of dollars of United States notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. I remember young Marine Corps officer observing that the bill I had in my hand had a red embossed imprint and said United States notes instead of green and Fed notes. And, of course, a lot of people make a lot of money out of the Fed, and Jack was going to circumvent it.
That's one of the first things LBJ did when he took office was to overturn Executive Order 11-110, which called for those bills to be printed.
That's very good, Charlie. So he had a lot of issues like this, and of course there were personal motivations. I mean, J. Edgar wanted to remain on as director of the CIA, of the FBI, and Lyndon wanted to become president of all the people. I mean, some of those I got to know during the course of my research included one fellow who had a very interesting history. He'd been born into a trapeze family. He was very talented. He was an artist, a forger, a master marksman. He once ran a school for assassins. He actually worked at one point in time as an accountant for Meyer Lansky, which, Charlie, you can appreciate. I mean, Meyer was the brains behind organizing the mob. And being Meyer Lansky's accountant was the most sensitive position in the entire mafia.
Tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to go for another quick break, and we'll pick up then when we get right back. Folks, stick with us.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there.